Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, April 21st, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 52, the second paragraph. We had to ask ourselves, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Sharon W., 12 Traditions, Penny L.C. The reader of the text is Brandy M., Deb E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Robin P. The reference number for Tuesday, April 20th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,798. That's 16798. And for this morning, Wednesday, April 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,806. That's 16806. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Mary B., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharon.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service, Dawn. This is Sharon W., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Sharon W. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 52, the second paragraph, starting with, "We had to ask ourselves," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Brandy M. to begin reading. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. My name is Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having troubles with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional nature. We were a prey of misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see new reel of lunar flight? Of course it was. Good morning, it's Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive reader. The good old bedevilments, you know, I knew I was powerless over food. I knew that, you know, I couldn't stop eating. And once I started eating certain foods, I just couldn't stop. Like that was very clear behavior based, you know, tried time and time again to stop and I couldn't. You know, but that second part of step one, you know, that my life was unmanageable, was more, you know, a little more tricky because I kind of hit it. I hit it like my family definitely knew that my life was unmanageable because, you know, in my house, I was that tornado. I was, you know, yelling, screaming, getting mad at everyone, you know, having huge blow ups and then leaving and going to work and smiling and being happy. And so everyone thought everything was perfect. And my life was fine. My outer shell told people differently. However, you know, as far as my personality, they thought things were great, but my poor family really suffered. And so I had to, you know, I had to sit with this and I had to look at, you know, was I having troubles with personal relationships? Yes, I was. I was constantly in collision with other people. If you didn't do things the way that I needed them to be done, then yeah, I would definitely cause problems. You know, could I not control my emotional nature? My dad used to say to me, why do you always have to cry? Like you cry over everything. And it was true. Like anything happened, I would cry. I was emotional. I couldn't handle my feelings. You know, I was a prey to misery and depression. Yeah, I was depressed. I was on antidepressants. I would go in and bouts of depression. Funny thing is today, you know, after being clean for a year and a half, I'm not depressed and I'm not on depression medication. And, you know, I could make a living. but I wasn't excelling at my jobs. And I did feel useless. I did. And I was full of fear. You know, I lived life based on, you know, the scare of what if I die? What if something happens to my kids? What if, you know, I was always in that fear playing game. And so in turn, that became control, right? Because I was so fearful that I needed to control everything around me. And I was, you know, just unhappy. And so once I saw, you know, yeah, my life really is unmanageable through step 4 and 5, then I could say, okay, like, you know, I believed at the beginning that if I worked through the steps, you know, maybe I would have a spiritual experience. I didn't know what that would look like, but I did know that, you know, maybe life would get better, like these other people said. And so, you know, I had to stop questioning. I had to set aside what I thought I knew about this. And because I was running amok, I was making a mess out of my life, and I didn't want to live like that anymore. My life sucked. And so, you know, and the steps are kind of what makes that more clear. God can, you know, I don't live in this anymore. I don't live in this, and I don't freak out at my family like I used to. Am I still human? Yes. Thank you. I'm still human and I still make mistakes, and thank God we have a 10 step to clean it up. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Deb E.
Deb E.
This is Elena from New York.
Let's try that again.
Joanne
Noel
B.
Joanne
B.
Noel
E. B. Noel.
Elena from New York.
Elena.
Elaine F. from New York.
Elaine F.
Leah O. California.
Leah O.
Darlette P.
What was that last name?
Darlette P.
Dinette.
Darlette.
Darlette. Darlette P. Okay, let's stop there. I have Deb E., Joanne B., Noel, and I need your initial. Elena F., Leah O., and Darlette P. Deb E., why don't you go ahead and start us off? And tell us where you're calling from,
Hi.
If you would, please.
Oh, sorry, I was unmuted. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Israel. And for me, like, this paragraph is a reality check. This is the paragraph that tells me, like, don't fool yourself into thinking that the only problem you have is with food, you know, because that's really what I had no idea I had any other problems, you know, other than, like, maybe obvious things that would come up every so often. I really thought that, like, if only the food got figured out, that everything else in my life was kind of perfect. So this is the reality check for me, where it's like, well, how am I doing in my personal relationships? Personal relationships are hard. You know, I think if you asked anyone who knows me if I have difficulty with personal relationships, they'd probably say no right off the bat. But I have to work so hard at just, you know, things that are just kind of simple and day-to-day for most people require so much effort for me. You know, I've been saying, I just completed 2 weeks of saying the resentment prayer over a neighbor that, like, probably someone else wouldn't have had a resentment over. But as a compulsive overeater, I'm really sensitive to a lot of things, and I do react differently, you know. And the list goes on. It's, like, kind of reminding me we were full of fear. Yeah, full of fear. And the fears don't just go away, you know, just because the food's been neutral for so many years, it doesn't mean fear doesn't come up. But what it's been replaced with is this strong faith where when the fear comes in, I have something to do with it instead of trying to avoid it or trying to eat over it or just being overpowered by it. I turn to my higher power and I ask for help and guidance. And that also doesn't mean it just disappears because I've asked for help, but it gives me a lot of comfort to know that I'm not alone and that I do have help. And then I also have my OA fellows who I can speak to really honestly and tell them exactly what's going on. And just that last part, what I heard in it, you know, more important than, more important than whether the thing about whether we should focus on the newsreels or the lunar flight, to me what I hear in that is like, let's not get distracted with other people's business, with other things that are going on. Let me just focus on being the best that I can today, being of most service I can today. Let me not get distracted with everything else that's going on around me. And if I do, I start my day with that, with a focus on how can I be of service, how can I follow my higher power's will, then I'm on the right track. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb E. And Joanne B., now share with us, followed by Noel, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. Thank you for your service today. I was looking at this sentence that said we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. And then the bedevilments following that. And I was thinking how when I first came into program, not only was I desperate because I was in that place of hiding under covers and not wanting to face the world any longer. And it wasn't until my sweet sponsor walked with me through these steps for the first time. And everything was so new to me, and I was so afraid to set down these old ideas because I was afraid that it would steal my identity. And what really happened was when I became brave and I set down my ideas about my higher power, about myself, about just what I thought about the word disease, so much freedom started to open up within me. And as I began working through the following steps, this particular step two of We Agnostics and step three area, I started growing, and I'm still growing in a more beautiful place, I guess you might say. But what was amazing was I didn't even know how much I was living all in all of this horror. And it wasn't until I was walking into a job or a place of business, and I was applying for a position that was not working at a convenience store. You know, it was an office position in a medical office. And I was taking my application in, and the woman said, "We don't have any openings right now." And I said, "You know what? It's okay. I am just so excited that I can bring this application in." Because up to that point, I could never get past either filling it out or getting it into the door. And it was so exciting to see. I was no longer afraid to be out in the public and be with others. And this program has just blessed me so much. My higher power has used it to really help me grow up. And that's not a completion because I have a lot of growing to do, but I'm just grateful. And I'm grateful for my fellows on this particular call because this is where I was sent and where I was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous, and I'm very thankful. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. Noel, and will you share your initial and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Noel E. From Louisiana, a grateful compulsive overeater. Feeling funny about the word recovering or recovered at this moment. But man, thank you so much, everybody, for your service on the line, especially the last three people that shared. I'm looking at this paragraph and the part we couldn't make a living is really standing out to me because, you know, having a job is a different, but like earning and making a living is a completely different thing as well. especially if you just are wrapped up in so much of the dishonesty of the disease. But and it also is revealing that, like, the food, putting the food down is not, you know, doesn't free you from every layer of this disease. It just is God's plan for revealing more to you what you don't know about yourself. And even though things like that are written in this paragraph, like personal relationships, have started to smooth out, and you know, I talked to my sister on her birthday for the first time in 3 years. You know, things that are fifth on the list as far as, or tenth on the list as far as copes that this disease brings out in me, they're starting to show up and just continue to reinforce that God has led me here for a reason. And even sometimes when I think I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm smarter than God, or I don't think I can do better than God, but sometimes I believe I can do better than program. Sometimes I'm like, well, this did good for a while, but I've got God now. And he and I are just going to roll, you know, like it is miraculous the way he just refocuses you. He just centers you back into this spiritual program. You know, it's not what we're worshiping, but it is spiritual and just essential to recovery. That's exactly the message that he's sending here. So, and with that, I'll pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Noel E. from Louisiana. Now, Elena F., will you share with us, followed by Leah O. Morning, Elena. Star
Elaine,
one.
Elaine, it's actually Elaine F. from, F is in Frank, from New York. Thank you. I can't believe that you're doing this paragraph, because this is a very, very profound paragraph in the book. I remember doing the steps with a sponsor, and we used this paragraph, you know, to very strongly. It says, why we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to the human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. To me, that means like we're ready to accept scientific facts and change our views on all those facts, but when it comes to God and the program, we're like, well, I don't know if I could let go of all these old ideas and old ways of living that I had. And it's true, because it's much easier to accept things that are scientific or information than it is to, you know, accept working on myself or believing in a higher power that I can't see, or just even accepting that I have these bedevilments, they call them, and I had them. And they are getting better. I had all of them. Created misery and depression, couldn't make a living, feeling of uselessness. It's all about, you know, it says a fear, resentment, not of real help to other people. These bedevilments, more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight, was not a basic solution of these bedevilments. That's more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight. Well, you know, I could rationalize, say, well, you know, I have to mop my floor. I can't get on a meeting, or I have other things to do. I can't do the steps, you know, because this is really hard work, working in the deep emotions and our soul, you know, attaching our soul to God. It's not easy work, and I've been doing it a long time, and it's a process. But if I want to live a useful life free, and I also want to feel a special rewarding kind of life, I have to put in the work. And I don't want to have these bedevilments. Of course, they did ruin my life. I could really not keep a job very well. I had a job for 30 years, but I wasn't getting along. The last 10 years, I got along much better because I was using my program, but I was always like the squeaky wheel and arguing with people. And, you know, I was very isolated. I didn't really have a lot of friends that I saw on a regular basis, feeling lonely and just more self-centered. Anyway, I have to go, so thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Elaine F. from New York. Leah O., will you share with us, followed by Darlette P. Good morning, Leah, and please share.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Leah O., recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. And What an amazing paragraph to be focusing on today. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm driving to work, and my day was so crazy yesterday. I was so overwhelmed with fear, and I had to reconnect with my higher power in order to let God in and let go. And I wasn't able to do that before. You know, the bedevilments were so true. Like, I lived a life of depression, of anxiety, of discomfort in my own skin and body, of uselessness. You know, I always had a job and could provide for myself, but I wound up so greatly in debt, and was always paycheck to paycheck, and never really rose above in my career. There were so many things that I would blame on outside, you know, circumstances and woe is me and whatever. I had a lot of friends. I still have the friends today and family, but, you know, I put others before myself, and I still thought of myself as something different than, less than. And I'm so grateful to hear that today, and be reminded, you know, I've been in the rooms about 4 years. I'm a 100-pounder. But in the last 3-4 months, like, my life has changed because I restarted my abstinence and I really started focusing on a vision for you and working the big book in a different way. And it's incredible how different my life is, you know, 100 days into my recovery today. Like, I have work. I've paid down debt. I am calm. I am serene. I'm out of any kind of food satisfaction, meaning, you know, I don't need to go to food when I'm angry, sad, depressed, happy, whatever emotion I'm particularly feeling in any day. And the outside stimulus is still happening. You know, yesterday I bumped into a car behind me, and you know, and it took me a minute to refocus and get God-centered and connect and realize that's what I need to do. But I did it, and I'm okay. Everything's okay, and I'm taken care of. And that's what being in my head for so long, I could never see the miracles that were already happening around me. My life was not that terrible, you know? It's just when I put down the food and allowed God into my life, I get to see the miracles. You know, I get to really experience them. I get to feel happier than I've ever felt. And I still feel sadness. I'm still on antidepressants. You know, that's not my story. I wish I could come off of them, but I can't. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, I feel on a different level now, and that's because of working your steps. Thank you. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for your service. You're all amazing and helped my recovery so much.
Thank you, Leah O. from California. We are on page 52, the second paragraph. We had to ask ourselves, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And now I'll have Darlette P. share, but following Darlette, I'm going to be opening up the lines. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, and like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, Darlette P., please go ahead this morning and share where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Darlette P. calling from Elgin, Illinois, South Elgin, Illinois. And first, I want to thank everyone for their service today and everyone who spoke. For me, this paragraph means a great deal. When I first read this paragraph, or I shouldn't even say when I first read it, probably was the second or third time I read it, I had to take the we out where it says we were having trouble with personal relationships. I had to take that we out and put Darlette was having trouble with personal relationships. Darlette couldn't control her emotions. Darlette was prey to misery and depression. I had to take a real look at it and really look at myself and see that those bedevilments were mine. And I was also in fear and unhappiness. But today I'm not. And it's because I've put the food down. I no longer need the food to satisfy my needs. I've been able to turn over my life to my higher power, my God, and things are getting better. My relationships are getting better. I'm not out of control emotionally anymore. And I do have depression, but I have a bipolar condition, and I know today that that is part of my makeup. That's part of who I am. And every time doctors try to take me off my medications, I get into trouble. And I know today that I need that for myself. But I don't have to use the food to control the rest of my life, which is what I was doing. I was trying to control everyone and everything. If you didn't go along with what I wanted, then there was trouble. I was very rebellious and forthright in my thoughts, and I had to learn to change my thoughts. My thought process is, I think, my biggest enemy. It's my thinking process. I have that phenomenon of the mind, and I have to change that. And in order to change that, I have to stay on an even keel and abstinent with a clear mind, and know that God is there for me. And I just need to ask Him to do the right thing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Darlette P. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we would like to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Laura R.
Laura R.
This is Greg K. in Boston. I'd like to share.
Greg K.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Brona D.
Brona D.
George E.
George E. Okay, let's stop there. We have Laura R., Greg K., Becca R., Brona D., and George E. Go ahead, Laura, and please share where you're calling from. Press star 1, Laura R.
Sorry about that. Hey, Dawn. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You can hear me now?
Yep. Loud and clear.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome paragraph. For so long, I have been looking at these as kind of not only problems, but promises. You know, like, can I control my emotional nature? And it tells me in the promises that I'll be able to do so at some point, you know, if I get through these steps. But can I have personal relationships that are healthy? Can I control my emotional nature? Am I a prey to misery and depression? Like, that's not my life today, but that can be if I don't stay spiritually fit. It does tell us in the book that we're recovered, and I'm recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So no longer, because of the spiritual fitness that I do on a daily basis, does my mind tell me that I need to pick up food. But I will always be recovering spiritually. So these bedevilments can always come up from time to time, but actually I can look at them, like when I start to feel disturbed, it's a great opportunity for me to say, okay, I'm taking, like, my relationships are funky right now with my husband, or I'm kind of disturbed with my son, or I'm, you know, pointing the finger at this person. What's going on within? Because it's not really about the outside. Like, the bedevilments are an awesome opportunity for me. Like, it's the outside stuff is a great place for me to look at my spiritual, take my spiritual temperature on the inside. So if I'm struggling with stuff on the outside, that means that I need to look in the inside, because it's nothing, the problem isn't outside, it's inside. And that's where we go through the steps. You know, when we go through step 4, I'm looking at, I'm really able to find the exact nature of my problem. You know, where's my fear? Where's the delusion? What's driving, you know, the selfish attitude and the actions that I take, you know, the self-seeking actions. The action is just the stuff that I do on the outside because something's going on the inside. So I love this because now today, you know, I could have these benevolence eating or sober, you know, and when those crop up, I have, you know, like Brandy was sharing in the beginning, I have a step 10 that I could look at and pause and stop and say, okay, God, what's going on within? What are you trying for me to, you know, what do you have for me to see? And if I blow up something, then I can make amends because like Brandy's saying too, I'm human and things happen. So grateful to be on this journey with y'all. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura R. Now, Greg K., will you share with us, followed by Becca R.? Good morning, Greg. Press star one, Greg.
Okay, how about that?
Yep, that works.
All right, sorry about that. Thanks. This is Greg K. Just wanted to claim my seat. I haven't been on the meeting in a little while. And working through the steps and feeling, relating to what the previous speaker just said, the problem's not on the outside, it's in the inside. Catching myself, on my daily struggles, catching myself in them and recognizing, like, oh, this is a place where you can let God in. This is a place where you can pause and take a long, deep breath, relax, you know, your body, and think about doing a tenth step. And that's really scary. It's really scary for me to relax, to let go, to surrender. I'm used to doing the opposite. Like, I got to work out harder, you know, I have to make more muscle. I have to, you know, I have to clench my fist tighter, run faster. And so it's just a great reminder that the solution to the suffering in life, not just my food struggles, but the suffering, is an outside solution that just happens to be within me to connect to. And coming to this meeting today is one of those ways, you know, to get outside of that small mind that wants to do everything on its own, that can always tries to take away the what's free, and, you know, makes me pay a lot for in the long run. That's all I really have to say. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Greg. And we are on page 52, the second paragraph, We Had to Ask Ourselves. And we're commenting on that paragraph. So, Becca R., will you share with us now, please, and let us know where you're calling from?
Sure. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I, like so many of the other shares this morning, and just... is so relatable. I was a prey to misery and depression. I can remember, like, having resolved issues from my childhood, but still, like, grasping onto those memories to stay in that martyr victim role. And it's like I would just think about them, and then I'd start crying, and then I'd, like, pour all this into every interaction I had. And I don't live like that today. I'm free from that. And I've heard it said, like, these are opposite the promises. And I love that, because every time I would hear the promises read in the beginning, I would just cling to that. Like, I don't want that to happen to me. And in my groups, they would always read, these are the promises as follows the ninth step. So it was real motivation to continue, to persist through the steps, to get that relief, to get to the opposite of these bedevilments. That's all I have to share this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Now we'll have Brona D. share with us, and please share where you're calling from. Brona, good morning.
Hi, good afternoon from Northern Ireland. My name is Brona D. And yeah, recovering compulsive overeater. And yeah, look at this. What struck me in this paragraph is the same readiness to change. And, you know, before coming into this program, I didn't have any readiness to change. I often think of that as, yeah, change is something I think about being pulled through a bush backwards. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And you know what? The pain got bad enough. The pain got bad enough for me to be willing. And like other people have shared, you know, prey to misery and depression. Just couldn't get on in life. Just being stuck and watching everybody else getting on with their lives and just living. And I couldn't do that. And yeah, look at today. Things have got a whole lot better and not cured. Definitely not. Plenty of opportunities, plenty of step 10s. But do you know what happens today is that, like yesterday, you know, got a challenge, found it difficult, really surrendered it, prayed about it, picked up an outreach call, and the rest of the day was absolutely fine, you know, and I didn't have to stay stuck in it. I didn't have to be a prey to that, those thoughts, those fears, those worries, you know. It's just, yeah, it's just get the experience of my higher power taking care of me and just being there for me. And I always have these images and you know, I was opening the door to my higher power and I was falling at my knees and I was being caught. So that's the beauty of working these, practicing these principles in all our affairs. And yeah, my insight for today, look at, I have nothing, but with my higher power I have everything. And I don't know very much, but I know that I can't and my higher power can, and that's enough. So that's really good, and I'll pass there. And thanks so much for your service, Dawn. Appreciate everybody on the line today.
Thank you so much, Brona D. from Ireland. Now, George E., will you share with us and let us know where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is George E., compulsive eater, recovering in Ohio. Thank you so much for your meeting. Yeah, this paragraph has always really spoken to me. To me, it's more about having a higher power other than a higher power. In other words, when science, you know, when he talks about newsreels of lunar flight, you know, it's easy to have faith in, you know, in science or engineering or anything, you know, food. You know, it's easier to have a god of my misunderstanding than it is to have a god of my understanding. You know, it's something I have to really, really work at. And I was thinking about how Dr. Jung wrote to Bill later in his life, and I know I'm going to terribly misquote this, but he basically said that if you reach age 40 without a higher power, you're going to become neurotic. I mean, he was very kind in the way he said it, but that was the essence. You know, if you grow up in the middle of the older age without a higher power, it leads to neuroticism. And I think Bill understood that. And then Bill wrote to the world that, why can't we work on these other problems? You know, why can't we apply spirituality to everything? Which is not exactly what this paragraph is about. But I was also struck by that prey to depression. I've struggled with depression most of my life, and I've tried to find that scientific answer. You know, we have a local hospital here that part of their advertising is miracles in science. And, well, you know, when you put your faith in other things, you're probably going to get other results. And that's probably a mistake I've been making my whole life, you know, not putting the higher power first, you know. And so let me close with that. I think God loves us in spite of our imperfections. You know, that's the part I always had trouble dealing with. It's this imperfection. Everything is so imperfect. But this idea of a newsreel, you know, change the reel, change the projector, you know, that's where a change of self comes from, in my opinion. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, George E. And we're on page 52, the second paragraph, we had to ask ourselves. So we have time for about two short shares. Are there a couple more people that would like to share? Maybe a two-minute share each.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Christian Z.
And Christian Z. Okay, go ahead, Diane B.
Good morning. Thank you, Don, for all your service and everyone else that helps you. This is one of my favorite paragraphs, and I was taught the bid book by a wonderful woman. We spent a year and a half every Saturday studying the big book. And so in my big book next to this, I have page 84, and that tells us where the promises are for these bedevilments. And as I look at these are my problem with step six, with my defects of character, are surrounded and encompassed with all of these bedevilments. And that's why it says here that these are more important than a lunar flight. Because when I have these and try and work on these, my life is better, and that's why they're more important. And as I look at them, when I'm into myself, when my sights turn inward, these bedevilments become my problem. But if I can take these bedevilments and look outward, which is what this program teaches us, to take this and try and see how I can help somebody else. For example, if I try and help somebody else with their personal relationships, if I try and help somebody else with their emotional nature, if I try and help somebody else with their depression, if I try and help somebody else when I'm in the workplace to help them make a good living, if I feel useless, if I try and help somebody else with their usefulness, if I turn these bedevilments outward and try and see how I can serve others, then that's when I heal. I heal my personality by helping others, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane B. And Christian Z, will you share with us now, and please tell us where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Christian. I'm a recovered and available sponsor from New York. So this paragraph is really interesting. It lists a whole, plethora of things that are going wrong, things that are problematic in our lives. And it's, where do these things come from? They don't just come out of nowhere. Why does it seem like we struggle with them, more so than anyone else? Well, this is, the controlling struggle with relationships, emotional natures, depression, having trouble with a living or money, uselessness, fear, and unhappiness. Those are the results of compulsive eating. Those are the things that we live in every single day when we're trying to make compulsive eating be the answer to, all the stress and anxiety and whatever else is going on in our life. And, when we feel like I did, like I had to come up with all the answers. I had to figure every little thing out and, be perfect and really be on top of everything. Then, that was just unmanageable. It was too much, and I was constantly afraid. And so little deadlines or little tasks throughout the day, laundry, or needing to call somebody and then needing to go take care of this errand, seemed like just such great, they had such great weight, and I just couldn't manage them. And they weren't big problems. They were just little things, but they were so terrifying to me that then I started to think instinctively, like, okay, what do I do to get comfort? What am I going to turn to now? And it was always food. It was always the option I wanted to go with, because it was, it gave me that good feeling. And that's the other thing, because I was always chasing that feeling of comfort from food. But then all these other things, really didn't get taken care of, and they became so much worse. Definitely spending lots of money, all these crazy emotional highs and lows, all that sort of thing.
Time.
Wait. Oh, okay.
you, Christian Z, and thank you to everyone who shared. And we're now going to close the meeting from the Big Book by reading from the Big Book on page 164, excuse me, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Deb E. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.